This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, South African banks may be heading for the strongest lending cycle in 7 years, and the Department of Employment and Labour announces a new national minimum wage. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the repo rate that remains unchanged. In international business news, Netflix and Warner Brothers struggle to defend their merger. In investment news, we take a look at the global business-to-business payment landscape, and we talk to the tax rescue specialist at the company Pro Group Tax Rescue SA, Dr. Philip van Rensburg, about debt solutions, strategies, and tax debt management services.
A look now at local business news.
South African banks are likely to experience their strongest lending cycle in 7 years, according to a new S&P Global report. Credit growth of 8 to 9% in 2026 could inject more than 500 billion rand into the economy. This is driven by corporate lending for renewable energy, logistics and infrastructure, coupled with lower interest rates. S&P Global says this trend could significantly boost project financing in a slow-growing economy. The Department of Employment and Labour has announced that the national minimum wage will increase from R28.79 to R30.23 per hour on the 1st of March. The increase, which is reviewed annually, will benefit most workers, including farm and domestic workers, while employees of the expanded public works programme will receive an adjusted rate. Employers are reminded that they are legally obliged to pay the new minimum wage and that non-compliance is punishable by fines. And farmer organizations and the Minister of Agriculture are at loggerheads over the handling of the foot and mouth disease. We asked the Executive Director for the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting, what impact this disease and the strenuous situation between the organizations and the minister has on the country.
On the economic front, the immediate impact of the continued foot and mouth disease outbreak is on South Africa's meat prices. So here we look at especially beef as well as milk prices, which could be driven higher by the ongoing outbreak, which could potentially affect the 14 million cattle in South Africa. This could then in turn, these higher prices could feed into higher headline inflation over the medium to long term. Then we look at the possible political implications with pressure mounting on the Minister of Agriculture, John Steenhuisen, who is of course also the leader of the Democratic Alliance. Organizations, agriculture organizations, among them SAI and the business organization, business lobby group SAKALIGA, they have been discussing and floating the possibility of legal action against the Department of Agriculture around the production and distribution of vaccines to curtail the foot and mouth disease outbreak. They are laying a lot of the blame for the outbreak and the lack of dealing with it at the feet of the Minister of Agriculture, and this could potentially impact his viability to be re-elected as party leader at the party's upcoming federal congress in April. It is unlikely that there will be a strong or any serious challenger to Mr. Steenhuisen, but the possibility of his declining popularity is now increasing on the back of the ongoing foot and mouth disease outbreak.
We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Prof, the Monetary Policy Committee decided last week to keep the repo rate unchanged. What does this mean for South Africans?
The Monetary Policy Committee left the repo rate unchanged. The statement doesn't entirely convince one of the need for restrictive policy. They say the risks that could lower or raise inflation are balanced. But is it necessary to be so cautious on balance? One could argue that international uncertainty has caused the rand to strengthen over the past year. The lower grain prices will further reduce food price inflation. Is it necessary to keep policy restrictive while the economy is growing in decimal figures? I'm the first guy who will say that I don't think another 25 basis point reduction would have made the economy grow. There are many other constraints on growth, but I think that a reduction might have sent a signal, one that could have given optimism and confidence another boost. If I can use a rugby analogy, they decided not to risk losing possession and took the ball back to the forwards. I think Sasha should have been given an opportunity to kick across for Cheslin.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Netflix faced tough questions from U.S. lawmakers over its proposed $82 billion takeover of Warner Brothers Discovery. Senators expressed their worries about reduced competition, higher prices, and the impact on cinemas. The merger, under review by the Department of Justice, would give Netflix control of Warner Brothers Studios and the HBO Max streaming service. Meanwhile, rival bidder Paramount Skydance is still pursuing its own offer to acquire the company.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
We're now joined by the Chief Commercial Officer of the company, Damisa, Thomas Pinter. For listeners who might be hearing about your company for the first time, can you briefly explain what Damisa is and what makes it unique in the global business-to-business payments landscape?
So we are a payments company, as you mentioned. We focus on global stablecoin payments. So we help companies move money from South Africa to Australia to anywhere in the world. So we collect the money in local currency, put the money on stablecoins, and then move the money off-chain again into the currency of choice.
Before we say goodbye, we're joined by the tax rescue specialist at the company Pro Group Tax Rescue SA, Dr. Philip van Rensburg, to talk to us about debt solution strategies and tax debt management services. Dr. van Rensburg, what advantages does your multidisciplinary professional partner network offer to business clients seeking solutions beyond just tax debt, such as estate planning, international investment structures, or bespoke portfolio management?
We've taken hands with probably one of the best portfolio managers in the country. The reason I took hands with him is we've gone back 20 years. We were varsity together in our first year, and he had a very strong background working for Investec until he opened his own firm. His name is Louis Wilkin, and he's a CFA, and he specializes in bespoke portfolios. As we specialize in fields where the big money is, most of our clients will bounce off that because your asset manager, your broker, your certified financial planner, your tax consultant, all of them have to speak to each other to know what's the impact of the decisions you are making and what will be the impact if something unforeseen happens. So the benefit that the national or the professional partner network gives you is that when it's too late, it's too late. That when all of us sit together and here is your plan, there's not a too late. It's done in a scenario with all the professionals in the room to say that this decision has this impact on different fields. And that's very, very important, because if it's too late, it's too late. If you play golf, like Joost van Vesters, you know, he played golf and the club fell out of his hand. And then somebody said to him, you need to go see a doctor. And they asked him, are your policies in place? It's too late. His policies should have been in place before he played at golf and realized he's losing his grip. And I think that is the advantage of using our network to limit the impact on an estate, and that can be predetermined.
Looking at the evolving landscape of South African tax regulation and enforcement, what major trends or emerging challenges do you foresee for businesses this year, and how is Tax Rescue Solutions preparing to meet these?
I think there's a tendency of certain fields and industries. Commodities, exports, there's a problem for direct, indirect exports. And the legislation is, the law is clear, but the interpretation of each and other auditor at SARS is always different. So there's no case law yet based on the interpretation of a tax professional or SARS or a company. So it'll be interesting going forward to see if there ever is a case law, but usually they do settle it within internal because of long-standing relationships, and SARS are open for conversation on that. 2026, I think it's going to be still a big debate, the export chrome tax that they proposed. It's good and bad, because 25% increase in the price sets us way above the market on pricing, and then they can turn to Kazakhstan or Turkey to buy the same products from chrome. So I think that is still a debate that will be very highly discussed and see what the impact it would be.
And that was the tax rescue specialist at the company Pro Group Tax Rescue SA, Dr. Philip van Rensburg. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.